want us to go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, where we've been camping out for a while in our Sunday morning preaching and also in our Wednesday evening Bible studies. We've just been hanging out with Mark. I want us to go to Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21 is what we want to focus on today. We're continuing to deal with the idea of a clean heart. Last week we talked about a clean heart produces the fruit of faith. A clean heart produces the fruit of faith. Because we've said over and over and over again that the only way you get anything from the economy of God is by faith. Faith is that currency by which we make transactions from the kingdom of God. You must have faith. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, but don't stop there. He is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So a clean heart then produces for us the fruit of faith. And today we want to talk about a clean heart producing a transformed life. Clean heart produces a transformed life. You don't have to stand, but I would love it if you would read with me these verses 14 through 21 as they are printed on the screen. Hopefully you found your place in your Bible on your device, and then we can read from the screen together as we read in unison. Amen. Let's begin with verse 14. It says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears, but fail to hear. And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? And they answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? And so again, we want to talk about a clean heart produces a transformed life. Father, we pray that, Lord, in these next few moments, that you, Lord, will anoint my tongue and use it, God, that I might be an oracle. Make it like the pen of a ready writer that declares, God, your truth and your truth alone. Give us ears that are able to hear what your spirit has to say. And give us, God, hearts that are receptive to your word so that it is able to accomplish what you desire in our lives. And that is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, transform our lives. In his name, amen. I think it is important that when we start to talk about this idea of a clean heart, that I make sure that we are all on the same page. Amen. We talked about how significant the heart itself is. Because the heart itself becomes the place where the issues of life flow from. It is from the heart that things happen. It's the seat, if you will, of emotion. It's the locus place where thought, emotions come together and drive what so many of us understand as passion. Amen. You understand it from this idea, and you've been there when you see somebody that just ain't got no heart. You understand that what you're saying is not that they don't have a heart. What you're saying is they don't have the kind of heart that drives them and motivates them and moves them past just complacency and being at that place of anything happens. Athletes with heart go the extra mile. Amen. They're the kind of ones that when the going gets tough, they say the tough get going. They the kind of ones that when you're in a crunch time, you want somebody with heart behind your back. You want somebody where they've got the information, they're competent, but they also have the passion that drives them to the place of where they move. So we need hearts that are motivated and move beyond just rational thinking. Because we don't need emotion that just acts any kind of way. Amen. When your heart is right before God, it helps you to manage your emotions. See, you can be angry, but you won't sin. Why? Because now that heart, which is the locus place where emotions and intellect come together, your heart now won't allow your emotions to just do whatever they want to do. See, you are angry and you understand that you are angry about something, and now your intellect, influenced by the Spirit of the living God, makes you ask the question, why am I angry? And while you wait on him, he gives you the response to your anger, and it's never to sin. Amen? And so we're talking about a heart that produces a transformed life. And so when we start talking about a clean heart, what we mean is a heart that has been forgiven of sin. Amen? Let's start there. A heart that has been forgiven of sin. Now, let's be clear about this. There is no forgiveness of sin unless you come to God through the person of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is the only one that is able to wash you clean of your sins. Jesus is the only one who can forgive you of your sins, because it is only by his finished work are your sins paid for. That's what the forgiveness of sin means. It doesn't mean that you haven't sinned. It doesn't mean that you won't sin again. What it means is that because the wages of sin is death, that you no longer have to worry about paying that bill. Forgiveness of sin means that your bill has been paid in full. Amen? And that only happens when you come and you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he lived a perfect life without sin, that he gave his life as a ransom for others. Let's get this clear. Nobody took his life. He gave his life as a ransom for many. You can't take his life. And so he laid it down as a payment for the sins of all mankind. But it requires that you and I come personally and receive the gift that he offers. It's available. But if you don't come and take it, you forfeit forgiveness. You're saying that you're big enough and you bad enough to pay your own debt. And so belief in Jesus Christ then, that he died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, brings for you and me forgiveness of sin. And so now we're working toward a clean heart. And so it begins with the forgiveness of sin. But I can't have forgiveness of sin until I understand who Jesus is and what he has provided for me. Amen. Now, when I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me, who was raised from the dead, then God says that your sins are now forgiven. And here's what he does for you and me. He pushes them as far as the east is from the west. So he removes your sins from you. So you never ever have to worry about the weight of that sin again. Now, that does not mean that that sin does not come and whisper in your ear. Just because he removed it doesn't mean that it don't keep trying to sneak back in. Amen? And what you have to do is keep declaring, there is now no condemnation against me because I have put my hope in Jesus Christ. And sometimes, you know what? You have to go on and say, yep, you're right. That, get the word right, was me. Yep, you're right. I was guilty. And then you got to put the next word in there. But, but that ain't me no more. But I have been forgiven. And so even though it comes back to remind you of who you were, you have the word of God that helps you understand who you are. Who you are. That's extremely important, because a transformed life does not operate by who you were. A transformed life operates by who you are. Amen? And so it is a clean heart that helps us to experience the transformed life, because a clean heart produces a transformed life by first bringing us forgiveness of our sins. Now, when Jesus comes in and he forgives you and me of our sins, he also makes a deposit into our lives, and that is himself, the precious Holy Spirit. And so, watch this. In your heart, your sins are forgiven, and then when they are removed, another deposit is made, the Spirit of the living God. And so now, remember, Jesus said this, you will have in you a river, flowing, bubbling brook, like living water on the inside of you, that keeps you refreshed, that keeps you clean. And he said, that is the Spirit of the living God. And so the Holy Spirit comes in you, and he is cleansing you regularly from the stuff that seeks to contaminate you. And so your heart is made clean because Jesus Christ has come and washed you with his blood, forgiving you of your sin, and then depositing his Spirit inside of you, so that there is a regular flow of his presence in your life. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God inside of you is the regular flow of God's presence in your life. That's why he said, you will never ever be alone. Never will I abandon you, because the Spirit in you is the regular flow of my presence in your life. So he is active inside of you to keep you clean, to keep you purified, and to transform your life. So now, the other agent that God puts in your heart that is extremely important, because this is what requires you working with God in concert with Him. The other agent is His Word. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart. And then he says, so that I might not sin against thee or against you. And so then God takes His word and uses it as an agent to bring about transformation in our lives. Now, it is important that you note that I have not said anything about you changing who you are. Because if you go about trying to change who you are and fix who you are, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to make a mess. Amen. You've been in control and in charge all this time, and look at you. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I think it was Einstein who said what insanity was. Didn't he say that? Doing the same thing. Over and over and expecting what? A different result. You've been in charge this long. Why don't you just give it up? Give it up and say that what you've been doing ain't working. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try a proven method. I'm going to try something that is guaranteed to work. Amen. So this is not about you fixing and changing who you are under your own wisdom and instructions. If Sister Diane had the mic, she would say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Amen. And so this idea of a clean heart is actually God, by the power of Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the work of His word, is changing you and me from the inside out and making it such though, so that our hearts then are receptive to the word of God. So a clean heart then is one that is plowed and ready to receive from God. It's ready to receive the seed. So a clean heart is one that is plowed and ready to receive the seed. A clean heart then is one that has depth, where the rocks, where the stones are removed so that the seed that is received can take root. Got to get rid of the rocks. Got to get rid of the stones so that the seed that is planted can take root. Clean heart is one where the thorns, you know, that's the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire of the things of this world, where those things then are removed, and where you are seeking first the kingdom of God and allowing Him to add all these other things to you. A clean heart then is one that says that, you know what? I'm not going to pursue the principles of this world, but I am going to trust in God with the realization that it is He who provides for me. All of this is being performed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, because it is the word of God that goes into your heart and begins to produce change and transformation. And when transformation begins to take place, you begin to see properly. You begin to see yourself against the standard of God. You begin to understand that there is nobody like the Lord. Nobody, especially me. Amen. And so because there is nobody like the Lord, you begin to remove yourself from the throne of your own heart and you give him his rightful place. You start understanding that you are a created being and not the creator. And so then you've got to bring yourself under the authority of the creator. And so you relinquish authority to him. A transformed life helps you to see properly. Helps us to understand that we fall short of God's perfect standard. But because he offers forgiveness for our sins, we don't have to live under the weight of that fallenness. That we can readily receive from him and become the people that he created us to be. Not the people that our circumstances have tried to shape us to be. Boy, y'all gonna make me preach. Y'all act like y'all don't understand. See, y'all done lived those good lives. Y'all were raised with those silver spoons in your mouths. Y'all grew up in the penthouse in Manhattan. The pieces that you played Monopoly with were gold. When you got to Park Place, you said, I don't want it. I already got it. But some of us were raised differently. We had different experiences whereby life ain't always been easy. There were things that were pressing against us that was trying to prevent us from becoming all that God wanted us to be. Some of us like to quote that scripture in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 where it says, for God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and give you a future. We like to quote that, but here's the deal. God says he's the one that knows, not you. We quote that scripture when we're trying to find support for doing things our own way. Not realizing that God is saying, yes, I know the plans that I have for your life, and you won't know them until you get hooked up with me and start listening to me. Your circumstances ain't dictating your plan or God's plan for your life. Can I tell you that there is no weapon developed in hell that can stop God's plan for your life? It does not matter how powerful the individual might be. Can I just tell you again? There is nobody like the Lord. And when God is on your side, he has the final say. Oh, they may be successful at blocking some stuff, but can I tell you, they can't stop God's plan for your life. And in their blocking, in their throwing their stumbling blocks, all they are doing is giving you an opportunity to praise God. All they are doing is giving you an opportunity to acknowledge and see God for who he is and to understand that your God, the God that you serve, the creator and maker of the heavens and the earth, is unstoppable. So you learn not to get so caught up with your current and present circumstances and the people who are in power, because you understand that God has the final say. Can I just tell you that it doesn't matter who the king is? Can I just remind you that it does not matter who the governor or who the mayor is? Can I tell you that it does not matter who is in charge of the CDC? God has the final say. And when you and I start to understand that, we stop getting so caught up in stuff that is taking our attention away from what God desires of us. Amen. It doesn't mean that we don't fight. We just ain't caught up. We get our instructions from a different place, and we operate from a different methodology. And when we do what God tells us to do, His plan and His purposes will come to pass. I believe that God is working out some stuff in the hearts of people and drawing hearts and minds back to Him. Because some of us have began to think that our healing is caught up. It's caught up in what the science and the medical community is able to do. But God wants to remind you that He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the one who is able to take and heal sickness and disease that other folk don't have a cure for. Glory to God. He is able to be a shield around you and protect you from stuff that might show up in your vicinity that may be infecting other folk. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near. And God is saying, I need my people to get their eyes back on me and not on all this other stuff that has you all upset, stressed out, caught up in the worries of this world. See, a clean heart keeps you from being entangled with that kind of stuff. You don't ignore it, but it keeps you from being entangled. A clean heart reminds you of who God is and what God is able to do. And it keeps you from being worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And a clean heart keeps you before God saying, I don't know how you gonna do it. I don't know when you gonna do it. All I know is that you will do it and come through. Amen. And it is this clean heart then that enables you and me to confront the pressures of the day and to walk out in such a way that God is glorified by your lifestyle. God is glorified by the words you speak. God is glorified by your services, because you understand that you are His hands and feet, that God can use you because you have maintained or allowed Him to maintain a clean heart in you. In our text for today, there's an event that takes place that all of us are familiar with. Jesus had just fed 4,000 men and their families. Jesus had done this by taking 7 loaves and a few fish. Jesus took the 7 loaves that were available, gave thanks for them. He broke them. And when Jesus broke the 7 loaves, it became enough to distribute to over 4,000 people. He did the same thing with the few fish he had. He gave thanks for them. And then he distributed those fish to more than 4,000 people. And what our text says is that everybody ate and was satisfied. But it doesn't stop there. It said they had leftovers. So everybody had plenty to eat from 7 loaves and a few fish. And then had leftovers. Let me stop for a minute and just let that settle in your spirit. Let me let that settle in your spirit, because you may be looking at your resources and you may be wondering, how are your resources going to meet your needs? What you need to do is take your resources and lift them up before God and give thanks. Ah! Why are you giving thanks over 7 loaves? That's crazy. That's what the disciples were saying. 7 loaves? I can't cut that thing up in that many small pieces to distribute. And in the same way, you need to think about what you have. Take it. Stop complaining. Okay, can we just agree right now? Each one of us just agree right now. I'm going to stop complaining about the little that I have. Oh, come on. Will you make a commitment with me? Will you make a commitment with me? You ain't gonna make it? She said, I ain't gonna make it. She didn't say that, y'all. She didn't say that. We like each other. I can mess with her like that. We won't complain, but we will give thanks. We will give thanks. And then watch. We'll wait and we'll see how God is able to do more that we offer to him with gratitude than he can do with what we keep to ourselves and complain. So let's just make that commitment. And I know it's going to take some practice for some of us, because some of us, we've been in a habit for a long time of talking about we ain't got enough. You got Jesus, you got more than enough. A clean heart helps you acknowledge that with Jesus, he is more than enough for us. Amen. So Jesus takes and he feeds them. There are leftovers, and then Jesus is now leaving the place where he has fed the people. In our text today, we find out that the Pharisees had approached Jesus and said to Jesus, we need you to give us a sign from heaven. And Jesus is like, where were you at a few minutes ago? Dude, did you not see what just happened? 7 loaves for what? 1,000. And they didn't just eat. They were satisfied. Oh, okay, in other words, it was like he had a buffet. Right? You know, where you keep coming back. And let's be honest, we always eat more than we should, because you'd be like, I'm going to get my money's worth. Right? Right? You'd be like, I paid for this. And especially when you go and discover they went up a little bit on the price. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Having to roll you up out of the restaurant. You waddling out. Okay. They're satisfied. Everybody is satisfied. And then the Pharisees are going to say, a sign. Jesus said, okay. Man, y'all get out of my face. And then it says he got in his boat and left. He didn't entertain that foolish talk. Okay, okay. These are lessons. These are lessons. When you have a clean heart helps you to know when to engage and when not to engage. Boy, that'll preach by itself right there. Whether you're talking about engaging face to face or whether you're engaging in social media, a clean heart lets you know this ain't even worth my time or my energy. A clean heart lets you know that this person ain't really got a right spirit about them. They just trying to stir some stuff up and they ain't got time for no mess. And Jesus is like, I am not going to entertain your foolishness talking about you need a sign. Where have you been? Where you been? And so he said, go on, get out of my face. He got in the boat and they left. Right there. He got in the boat and he left. Now, when Jesus gets in the boat, he takes his disciples with him. And it's as though they are working and rowing, and Jesus just all of a sudden says, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees in that of Herod. Almost like he's just kind of, you know, as they are rowing, going across the lake, that's what he says. Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now, when Jesus uses this term yeast, he's talking about their teachings. He says, watch out. He's saying, watch out for the teaching of the Pharisees and that of Herod. So now watch this. When he talks about the Pharisees, he's actually dealing with religious leaders. Religious leaders whose heart is not really bent on receiving fresh revelation from God, but who are instead stuck in building up and holding up their own traditions and making their own kingdoms big. And he's saying, you need to watch out for people who pretend like they love me, but they really about themselves. Well, I could unpack that a little bit more, but I might get in trouble. Watch out for people that's telling you to send them money because you can get blessed. Wait a minute. Yeah. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. It's all right to sow into a ministry, but don't you try to buy no blessing. The blessings of God are not for sale. They are not. And when anybody starts telling you that if you give X number of dollars, this is what you go, run, Forrest. Run. And a clean heart then helps you be able to discern. Jesus said, watch out for those religious leaders whose hearts are not bent toward me and who are not seeking to glorify the kingdom of God, but have elevated their principles, their standards above the standard of God. And then when he talks about Herod, now he's talking about political leaders. Watch out for political leaders who making you, trying to make you think that they have your best interests at heart. Yes, run, run. Watch out for political leaders who speak out of both sides of their mouth, who are in one breath, they're talking about they love Jesus. But on the other side, their policies, their practices show that they love themselves or their party. So he said, watch out for that, because Jesus says, I didn't come to represent any party. That's right. Jesus said, I ain't no Democrat. He said, I ain't no Republican. And since y'all got this thing called independent, I ain't that either. My kingdom has come to rule it all. He says, you need to be careful that you align yourself with any of those. I know we stuck. In this country, we stuck. He says, but don't allow that to twist you up. That your devotion, your allegiance is to Jesus Christ and to the kingdom of God. And it does not matter what party is promoting truth. You say truth is truth. And when your party, whatever your party is affiliated with, starts promoting lies, you say, now that's a lie. Because you have learned to align yourself with the will of God, with truth itself, which helps you to discern lies and deception. And so Jesus warns his disciples, you need to be careful of those religious leaders, and you need to be careful of those political leaders. You need to be careful of their teachings and their policies. But because the disciples are still in the process of being developed, remember, that's what Jesus came. He came to call them into a new way of life, and he was in the process of transforming them and teaching them how to follow him and how to represent his kingdom well, because they were still in the growing, early in the stages of development. What Jesus said went completely over their head. And when he mentioned yeast, they got sidetracked and started talking about bread. They start talking about bread because they had forgot to bring bread, and they allowed what they had forgotten to bring to interfere with what God was trying to give them, what Jesus was trying to give them. So they start talking about, it's because we have no bread. And Jesus looks at them and he says, what are you talking about? Bread. Why are you talking about bread? I'm trying to give you spiritual truth that will enable you to deal with the opposition in this life, and you're talking about bread. And so he begins to unpack for them again. He says, don't you remember when I fed the 5,000, how much we had left over? 12 basketfuls. He said, when I fed the 4,000, how much did we have left over? He said there were 7 basketfuls that were left over. He like, why are you talking about bread? You sitting here with me. And if you have one loaf, and it's just 13 of us, right? Jesus and his 12 disciples. He said, I just took 7 loaves and fed 4,000. I got one loaf, and you worried about not having enough bread? So where you and I are trying to get to is the place where we have our hearts clean before God, so that one, the fruit of faith is produced in our life, and two, our lives are transformed. That's what we're trying to get to. I'm thankful that Jesus used the disciples, that God uses disciples as a model and not me. See, I can laugh at them because I identify with them. that sometimes I'm so busy looking at what I have that I forget that the one that I serve has no limit. And because I forget that the one that I serve has no limit, I get caught up in useless worry, useless things that are preventing me from allowing his power to be manifest in my life. A transformed life talks about now I see God as he is and as he has revealed himself. A transformed life says that I no longer view God through these human eyes, comparing him to humanity. I now see God high and lifted up and exalted. I see God as being able to provide, because he is the one who called out of nothing what he needed and what he desired. A clean heart producing a transformed life helps me then to be able to see that God can use anything like me. That if he can take some loaves and feed over 4,000 people, God can take a broken vessel like me and feed people. That when I allow myself to be broken before him because he has cleaned my heart and helped me to understand that I am not all of that in a bag of chips. If he ain't in it, I'm a mess. Then he can use me to bring glory and honor to his name. That's a transformed life. Clean heart helps me to understand and see Jesus for who he is and to call upon his power to do what only he can do. Amen. So Jesus uses the disciples to say to you and me, don't miss the point of the revelation. And he says to them, don't you understand? What did you miss? He is saying, you missed the point of the revelation. And he is using them to say to you and me, don't miss the point of the revelation. That if you take a moment and you reflecting on how God has been at work in your life, what he did for you, what he saved you from, how he took you, the rotten, how he took me, the rotten scoundrel that I was, and how he transformed me and changed me, that he says, don't stop there, because the very thing that I begun, I also will finish. I've only shown you a glimpse of what I want to do. And if you allow me to clean your heart so that you look right, you will see that I am not done with you. And if you allow me to wash your heart, if you allow me to take the word that has been deposited and allow it to grow up, I will show you that I can do more in your life than you ever imagined. What I love about Jesus is Jesus did not come to fight with people. And he still won't fight with us. If you're not willing to accept him, you miss out on what he has to offer. And a clean heart puts you and me in a position of where we say, I'm willing to receive. Because he ain't gonna fight. He's not gonna put you in a chokehold and make you take the medicine. No, but he offers it freely. And if you're willing to accept it, oh my goodness, the impact and the change that it's going to have on your life. So Jesus didn't come to fight with people. You know what he did? He came to heal. And he came to deliver people from the power of the devil. Amen. Amen. And the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his motive. Whenever he shows up in your life, so all you gotta ask, what you trying to steal? What you trying to kill? What you trying to destroy? No, don't have a conversation with him about, you know, like Eve did. That's a bad decision. Bad decision. All you want to be looking for is what did he come to steal, kill, and destroy? Because the devil never means you good. And a clean heart then helps you recognize the strategies of the devil, because you are now allowing that deposit of his spirit, of God's spirit, that deposit of his word to work in you to transform the way you think and to transform the way you see, so that your life can be presented to God as an offering. So he helps you to see fresh and new. In fact, if the truth be known, Jesus came to set you free so that you could go and set others free. There it is right there, right? He came to set you free so that you could go and set others free. But if the devil can keep you entangled in your mess, if he can keep you stumbling over yourself, you'll never be able to get to the one to whom he's sending you. Because you're too busy caught up trying to fix you. He said, let me fix you, so that I can now equip you to go and do what I did. Take the gospel, the good news, and help men and women draw close to him. Because here's the truth. You don't fix yourself. You know what fixes you? Your proximity to God. Yeah. That's where it happens. It's your proximity to God that makes the difference. His spirit is living in you. His word is deposited in you and growing. And therefore that keeps you in proximity to him. And in proximity to him, you have all that you need for a life to be transformed and for fruit to be produced. I gotta stop. I'm not gonna put it all on you at one time. I'm gonna stop. But he says that his desire, more than anything else, is for you to be in a position to take truth to others, that they might be set free from the power of the devil. But you can't give to someone else what you have not already apprehended. You can't offer peace to somebody else when you're struggling, troubled in your heart and mind. You're trying to tell somebody else about peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. That's not what I'm talking about. Peace is the ability to rest in the trouble. Amen. I don't need to stay up all night, because God's going to be up anyway. I need to go and go to sleep. Amen. Amen. He don't need no sleep. He's the one who never sleeps and never slumber. I need sleep. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But you can't give away what you don't have. And so what he's saying to you and me on today is, come and apprehend what is available to you. Stop walking away from the table hungry. Stop walking past the dish that you know you need. Pause long enough to get something so that you can be filled up and made whole. Jesus is saying, stop pushing me away, holding on to your own way, and let it go so that you can live. Stop trying to do it yourself. Trust me. draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. And I want you to ask God to show you the condition of your heart. Ask Him if there's anything that is preventing you from receiving the revelation of His word and who He is. Ask Him if there is anything that is clogging up the flow of His spirit in your life. Ask Him if there are any rocks or thorns that are preventing the growth of His word in your life. And as He reveals, take a moment and lay it at the cross, at the feet of Jesus. And then leave it there. Father, we approach You using the words of King David. And we ask that You will cleanse us with hyssop. For if You cleanse us, we will be clean. And if You wash us, we will be whiter than snow. Let us hear joy. Let us hear gladness. As You hide Your face from our sins and blot out all of our iniquities. Thank You for creating in us pure hearts. As we trust in Jesus Christ, and as we allow Your Spirit to have His perfect way. Renew in us a steadfastness that we cling to You and to Your way. And restore to us, God, the joy of Your salvation. Grant us willing spirits that will sustain us. Let the words of our mouths and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight. O Lord, You are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name.